Hi everyone, thank you for coming on to our third meeting of Working Party 1 of the Cross Community Working Group on Enhancing ICANN Accountability. My name is Jordan Carter, I'm your rapporteur and chair, and we've got 90 minutes with a reasonably busy agenda, though probably a bit less busy than it looked. There are a couple of items, if we just move into reviewing the agenda, that we probably don't need to deal with so much. In terms of the outputs for the face-to-face meeting, we can have a very brief discussion there, but the co-chairs and rapporteurs are setting up a call for tomorrow to work through a program, and I think it will be more helpful, easier for us to reply to a proposal as a working party rather than trying to brainstorm it all ourselves. But unless people object wildly, I think we can probably hold that one until some more thinking has been done for us to respond to as a working party. The second point is that in item 3C, the GAC consensus and how ICANN's board responds, it's obvious in the post on the list that this is an issue of some sensitivity, and Matthew Well has suggested that the co-chairs are going to talk with Thomas Schneider, the chair of GAC, about it. I think we should just suspend discussion on the issue in this working party until our next meeting, which I think we're going to have. And I'm sure there'll be a conversation about this item in the face-to-face. Some people have put posts up with good reasons why we might not need to make changes here, and I'd like to make it clear for the call and for the record that I'm not a particular advocate for this this solution as suggested in the template. I was just asked to draft it, and I've tried to be clear about what it would and wouldn't do. So we can just check in briefly if people are happy with that course of action without holding discussion on it when we get to that part of the agenda. So I think the substance of our meeting will be looking at the work that Steve's done on the OSC and the bylaws and the removal of directors discussion. And then the next steps in our work, we do need to do. We need to check in on what Becky's assigned to us and what we are thinking of assigning to Becky. And we need to flesh out some volunteers for the mechanisms that are set out, that they're set out that haven't done any drafting yet, except for what Roloff has done. So are there any other agenda issues that people want to raise? Or suggest that we do or do not deal with? Pavush has suggested, he's asked whether we plan to address the issue of booking.com. I don't plan for us to address that because it's a decision of the IAP, and improving or changing review and address mechanisms is the subject of Working Party 2, not Working Party 1. So I don't think that we should discuss it here today. Kavush, do you want to respond to that? I see that your hand is up.
Yes. Good morning, Jordan. I think you are morning for you. No, I did not suggest that you discuss. I just raised the question. Do we CWG discuss that? If it is voting party 2, I have no problem because I mentioned in my email the issue of the booking.com has two aspects. One aspect is the spelling or language similarity. The other is the accountability. I distinguish both of them, but if you want to discuss the voting party 2, I don't want to bother you nor to disturb you. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Kevin. Are there any other is there other agenda issues or tweaks? I think we might proceed to the next item, which is a report back from the CCWG meeting, which was held, I don't know, 28 hours ago or so. We kind of got our ordering a bit wrong, in the sense that we did end up having a discussion both on the ICANN board responding to GAC advice with the thresholds and the issue of removing directors. what came up in the director's point is something we can discuss in that agenda item 3B, I can brief you then. The other thing that came up was the need to do some urgent work about the shape of our meeting. And right at the end of the meeting were some questions about the timeline for all of this work raised by Robin Gross and a few others. And that's going to be something we need to address as well, but we don't need to address it today. Are there any other... I'm assuming that most of you either are participating in the meetings of the CCWG or are looking at the notes after they come out. Are there any other points that arose at that meeting that you think need to be specifically drawn to Working Party One's attention? Okay, I see no coverage.
Yes, Jordan, I have a general point. I don't know at what time you want to raise it. I think at some time we have to include in any action line the implementation time required. Listening to the Larry sitting, I've mentioned that we need to act and say that how much time or what is the time frame required for the implementation. It is not an urgent issue, but perhaps it's some flag to raise for any action that we propose. We say that timeline for implementation yet to be identified or need to be identified. Something like this. Not urgent, but not to forget. Thank you.
Thank you, Kabus. I agree that we do need to think about timeline for implementation and the process for that. What I'm hoping is that in the call that we have with the co-chairs on Friday, which is scheduled for an hour or so, we'll have a chance to both discuss the shape of the output we need for the consultation in April, how our meeting in March can help us get that ready, and also how we're going to be planning the implementation side. And I'm sure we'll speak about that question more both in the Istanbul meeting and in the meeting that we've got planned in May for face-to-face after the engagement with the community that's due in April. So we will come to that. If there are no other specific items to raise from the CCWG discussion yesterday, I think we should move on to the work items discussion. And I'd like, if I could, to start us out with the work that Steve and Fiona and Co have been doing on the affirmation improvements in the bylaws. Steve, I believe that you've done some work about incorporating another three in the bylaws, at a three of the AOC reviews. Sorry, Alice, that's not going to be the right document that you've got on the screen. Steve, are you on the call? And if you are, would you take the working party through those AOC and the bylaws items? Is that all right? Steve, I don't know if you're talking, but none of us can hear you. We can unfortunately hear someone who's coughing. I hope you feel better soon, but while you aren't and while you're coughing, if you were able to use the mute button, that would be great. Thank you.
Gordon, this is Steve. Were you asking me for something? I had to step away and grab a call.
Apologies for jumping in. This is Alice. Jordan, can you still hear us? Are you still on the call? Am I the only one on the call, or?
Oh, I think the rest of us are here.
Okay, great. So it's just Jordan then. Let me email and see what kind of issues dealing with. Jordan, are you back on the call?
This is Roelof. Steve, Barry has phrased the question that Jordan asked you in the chat, so I don't know if you saw it, but maybe you can respond.
Hey, hi Roelof, it's Steve, and I had missed that earlier, so I'm very happy to do that. If people want me to, I can quickly address that till Jordan gets back on. So folks, Alice, are you able to bring up what I circulated a couple of days ago, which was all four of the affirmation reviews in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Alice. And everybody can scroll in this document. If you jump down into the document, you'll see that on page 4 and 5, we have the first two affirmation reviews. And we've discussed those on prior calls of this work party. And there was a little debate about whether to change anything, but my notes show that even though we debated both ways, we didn't really change any words on the accountability and transparency review or the security, stability, and resiliency review. But before I jump into the two new ones, were there any other final comments about this? And for those of you that are new on the call, like Jeff Newman, for instance, and Jim Baskin, this is part of our task, was to take the four affirmation of commitments reviews and move them into the bylaws so that the affirmation no longer is a bilateral agreement between the U.S. government and ICANN that either party could cancel. In moving them into the bylaws, we had four specific changes we were going to make. We were going to be sure that the community leaders are the ones who designate the representatives on the teams, not the chair of the board and the chair of the GAC. We also said that we wanted to make the cycle a little more practical, the cycle meaning how frequently these reviews are done, and you'll see we've come up with some different ideas on that. We wanted to make sure it's clear that it's up to the review team selected by the community about whether to accept comments from the community or experts, and then it's up to them to draft and submit the final report to the board. And we said that the ATRT review, the mother of all reviews, would have an additional task. It would have the task of deciding whether to recommend the sunset of the other three reviews or the creation of a new one. It might even amend a review, such as the word "who is" could change to EWG, or directory services at some point in the future, and this is a way of making it a little more permanent. Kavus, I see your hand up.
Yes, Steve, thank you very much for your works. I have one comment. I think I have seen your first draft. You have included the affirmation of commitment to bylaw, but you started from paragraph 9. In previous paragraphs, there are some elements which are also a candidate to be included in the bylaw. So I try to comment on that, and I will send you some message tomorrow. But I just wanted to tell you and other distinguished colleagues that it is not only Section 9 and above, but also Section 8 and before that, they have some elements which are to be included or considered to be included in the bylaw. This is something that I just wanted to mention. And one point also is that I think you have just started to put them, but you have still waiting for some comments. For instance, paragraph 9.1 some parts talking that the ICANN should review the effectiveness of CAC. I am not in favor of that. It is not neither to the ICANN nor to the bylaw to mention that the effectiveness of CAC to be considered. If CAC is not effective, just suppress them, delete them. But we should not put them the effectiveness of CAC. Why among all the 13 communities we just put the finger on the CAC and saying that we should talk about the effectiveness of CAC? CAC is effective, otherwise it should be deleted. Thank you.
Thank you, Kavos. First, I wanted to acknowledge that you're exactly right. There are four other paragraphs from the affirmation that are definitely worth considering bringing into the bylaws, in particular paragraphs 3, 4, 7, and 8. And Matthew Shears has been working on those, trying to draft. It's a relatively easy thing to take the language over from the affirmation of commitments, because those are simple one-sentence commitment paragraphs. One of them will be somewhat controversial because it's the commitment of ICANN to remain with a presence in the United States, even though it will also create presence around the world. Maybe that isn't really controversial anyway. But Matthew Shears, CDT, is the one running that part of this task. And I don't think we have Matthew on the call today. But when you send it over to me, Caboose, I will certainly relay it to Matthew and Fiona. Now, Matt, your other comment, Caboose, is looking at the Affirmation of Commitments, ATRT. So for the folks who are scrolling along, you would go to page 4 of the 7 pages of the document Alice has in this screen. And under that ATRT review, we brought over from the affirmation verbatim the 6 different elements that ICANN was committing to review. And Commitment B is assessing the role and effectiveness of the GAC. So, Caboose, we did our job to bring things over from the affirmation. But if I hear you right, you're requesting that this group consider amending that part of the ATRT. Do I have that right? Caboose, are you suggesting to take out the word GAC or to get rid of the entire item B?
No, first of all, Steve, I'm not criticizing you at all. I appreciate your effort, but I'm talking of the essence of the paragraph, the statement saying that I can review the effectiveness of GAC. The word effectiveness is not appropriate word. Monitoring the activities, but not effectiveness. There is no doubt that the GAC is effective, because that GAC dealing with some issues, specifically CCTLD and GTLD, and they are effective. So we do not put in doubt the effectiveness of GAC. So I'm just concerned about the use of the word effectiveness. I am prepared to have some other word like monitoring or something like this, but not putting doubt on the effectiveness of GAC. That is my point, and I appreciate very much your work, and please do not take that I'm criticizing at all your work. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. So I'm going to make a note that Caboose suggested taking out the words and effectiveness on item B. So it would say assessing the role of the GAC and its interaction with the board. And we'll take that under advisement. Is there anyone on the call that wants to engage in a discussion one way or the other on that? I'll take a cue. Caboose, I might say that the bar will be somewhat higher for us to argue for changes to what's in the affirmation. It doesn't mean we can't do that. We've made many other changes to the affirmation review. Is there anyone on the call that feels that it would be inappropriate to strike and effectiveness from item B? Jeff Newman, go ahead. Go ahead, Jeff. Can't hear you. All right, I'm afraid I don't hear Jeff, and unless somebody else does, I'll move on to Jordan as the next one in the queue.
Thanks, Steve. I think I'm making noise this time, which helps. I was just going to suggest that it would be useful to know whether any of the other ongoing reviews of advisory committees or SOs are and the bylaws with the same language, if all of the reviews say role and effectiveness of, then I think we should stay consistent with that, both because it sort of asserts fair treatment and because it's already the wording that's in the AOC. If all of the other reviews don't talk about effectiveness, then I think we've got a pretty strong case for striking it out. And so I support what you said, which is that you're going to take this under consideration, and it's an issue that we can deal with later. Thanks.
Thanks, Jordan. Jeff Newman, do you have your audio sorted out yet? All right, why don't we move on? No one else in the queue on that one. Caboose, I've got it written down. I want to make sure I got it right. Your request is to strike the words and effectiveness. So it's, instead of, it would now read assessing the role of the GAC and its interaction with the board.
Yes.
Thank you, Caboose. And Jeff Newman, if you get things sorted out, just pipe in any time. Olivier is asking on the chat, how do we guarantee implementation? That's a great question, Olivier, because one of the community empowerment items was that we thought the community, with a supermajority vote of its representatives, would be able to force the board to take up action on affirmation review recommendations that had been through an entire vetting by the community and had been submitted to the board for approval. So, Olivier, if that's what you're talking about, it has to do with recommendations, which is the last part of each review, and the obligation of the board to take action on implementation. Do I have that right? Got it. So, Olivier, that is a power that we started to discuss at the Frankfurt meeting. And, Jordan, I'm going to turn to you. Which group, because I'm so confused about these different work parties, which group is taking on this notion of the community being able to force the board to take action on approved affirmation review recommendations? Is that ours?
Hi, Steve. Yes, according to our work status chart that I referred in the email, it is still something that we see as ours. The note that I had made there in terms of acquiring implementation is, first of all, that we do need to discuss that as a topic at the CCWG meeting because it applies to well beyond our working party. And secondly, I wondered whether it was already covered by the mechanisms in 1A to 1C, so the ability to approve or not bylaws changes, to challenge actions against bylaws, and for the community to approve budget and strat plan.
I would say it's probably not covered by those three, because those are all in reaction to something the board did, as opposed to motivating the board to do what it said it would do, but hasn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, it remains subject to this working party, and it doesn't have any volunteers dealing with it. So I think we need to either choose to deal with it or kick it up to the CCWG. So maybe we could note that down as an item to specifically call for a volunteer or volunteers to do some work on before our next call, and deal with that in the call for volunteers part of the agenda down in Section 4. If that's okay, we could move on from that point.
It is, and to get it started, this is Steve. I'll volunteer as one of the many members. I hope it will jump in on that. This would be a general purpose community power to motivate the board to take up implementation of a bottom-up consensus policy or an affirmation of review recommendation. Olivier, I wanted you to note that at the bottom of all four of these reviews, there's a statement I took right from the affirmation. It says, quote, the board shall take action within 6 months of receipt of the recommendation. That is a bit unsatisfactory to say take action. Right? So, what has happened is the board action is for it to consider the recommendations, ask a few questions, and then some subset of the recommendations, and I think so far on the affirmation and review, the board has accepted all the recommendations. So do we want to, a question for this group is, do we want to change those words so the board shall consider for approval and begin implementation within 6 months of receipt? Do we want to do more than just the word take action? I'll take a cue on that. Caboose?
Not on this point. I am on other points. In your group and other groups, the whole CWG, reference is made to supermajority. Supermajority, I have studied some 20 or 25 international organizations and or parliamentary. Supermajority is something above 50% plus one. It should be 3/4 and should be 4/5. So we have to put in a square bracket 3/4, oblique stroke, 4/5, and later on decide which supermajority for which action we opt to. Because that is important to mention. And the other issue is that when we're talking about the NTIA doing something in affirmation of commitment, it is a single authority who could react or act immediately. But when you transit or transfer that to the community, the way the community reacts is not as quick or identical to the way that NTIA acts. So we have to look at that one, how the community acts or reacts in respect of any actions if we not modify, if we transfer the affirmation of commitment into the bylaw, the modality and the time for reaction and the way for reaction. It is simple if one authority like NTIA acts something, for instance, dot XXX, NTIA says, no, I want to give it to the community, whereas ICANN and GAC oppose to that. But when it goes to the community, whether the community reacts at the same manner or not, that is something that we have to be very careful. Thank you.
Caboose, this is Steve. On your first point on supermajority, I agree completely. Every place we say the word supermajority, we ought to be bracketing it as to whether that means 3/4 or 4/5. We'll figure that out later. And please understand, it could be different for different powers. The power to spill the board might require 4/5, right? But the power to overturn a board proposed budget might only be 2/3 or 3/4. We haven't crossed that bridge yet, and I agree with you that we should always think of the word supermajority in brackets. On your second point, I'm confused. Nothing in these four affirmation of commitment reviews require an action by NTIA. They're not a party to the way we've moved them into the bylaws, and I don't see where we create timing problems for the community for things that the NTIA used to be able to do themselves. Could you spot something in these four reviews that gives me an example of the concern you're raising?
Yes, I have given the example. The example was that XXX was disapproved or contested by GAC, was disapproved and contested by ICANN board, but was approved by NTIA. How quickly the community will react to the similar course of action like .xxx? Would it be the same thing or would have another course of action going to the majority or supermajority or so on and so forth to react on that? That is my question.
And Caboose, this is Steve. That example doesn't even help me because XXX wasn't approved by NTIA. It was ICANN's board who approved it. And when it went into the delegation to the root, all NTIA did was stamp a piece of paper that said, yes, this was approved in due course through ICANN's processes. So NTIA is not in the chain of command, either in these reviews or even in XXX. I don't see how the concern makes its way into this document.
Yeah,
I may just not be understanding you.
Yes, if you look at the report of the committee to the Senate, it mentioned that ICANN disapproved this delegation of XXX, but NTIA says I approve that because of the inclusiveness of the internet. So ICANN disapproved, GAC disapproved, NTIA approved. This is what the report says. If in reality something else, you know better than me, I have no problem. But the
report, and that's not what happened,
yeah,
of course. That's not what happened. Yeah. The board approved it, and the GAC said there was no active support, which is not the same thing as having a consensus against it. We could be here a long time discussing XXX. NTIA had no role approving or disapproving XXX. The GAC was muddled, and the board approved it. And this particular set of affirmation reviews have nothing to do with that.
Then I will send you the report of the NTIA or report of the committee to the Senate saying that NTIA, irrespective of the ICANN decision, they approved the .xxx. So I can send you that portion to see that to what extent that report is correct or I am correct. I am not claiming
anything. Okay, that's fair enough, Caboose. I look forward to your note, as I do all of them, and I'll reply.
Thank you.
Anyone else in the queue on the ACRT? And remember, Olivier put a topic in front of us that we haven't finished yet. The topic is, at the very last line of each of these four reviews, does this work party want to suggest stronger sauce language than take action within 6 months? Do we want to clarify that the board needs to vote upon approval and begin implementation with it? Other than the word take action. I think a cue on that particular proposal, if that's what Olivier was after. I don't know for sure. Go ahead, Fiona.
I think personally, for the record, this is Fiona Songa. Personally, having participated in a previous HRT process, I think it is important that we commit the board more, because taking action is so broad a term that even the act of looking at the reviews, reading through them and discussing them can pass as taking action. So after 6 months, if they just read and go through them, yes, they're taking action. But that does not translate into actual implementation. So if it's left broadly as it has been, it takes much longer before we are able to see any action on the recommendations of a review team being implemented. And that means that even if we extend the period of the reviews from a 3-year period to a 5-year period, all we are doing is that we will be taking even much longer before we begin to see any concrete results out of the proposed recommendations of the HRT review team. My suggestion is, for the time being, I'm comfortable with the wording that Olivier has proposed, but maybe we need to panel beat it a bit more once I actually see it written, maybe give some suggestions that may need to change. But I'm in support of the idea of us using a stronger phrase than taking action. Thank you.
Fiona, as near as I could tell, I put into the chat a proposed set of words that are stronger than take action. And I would ask the folks on this call if we would support this as an amendment to the words take action. Everybody's typing in the chat rather than speaking up, but I think I can work with that. Caboose, did you have something to say on this?
Yes, I would suggest that in similar cases we say, take the required action. Thank you.
Caboose, if we did that, it begs the question of what is the required action? So, I don't think that solves our problem. To just say take required action, because then somebody will say, well, what do we think is required?
Well, if you ask that, if you raise the question, this is something to be done, that is the requirement, and they have to action on that. If you take action, means that they consider, they may reject, or they may accept. But if you say take the required action, that you ask some specific action to be taken. That is what we use usually in the international law. Take the required action.
And we're trying to shortcut that by giving you five words that exactly say what we say the required action is. And to Jeff Newman's point, consider approval gives the board the opportunity to say, you know what, four out of these five recommendations are okay, but one of them is terrible. We're not going to vote the board votes not to approve all five recommendations. That is a board decision, and we have a community empowerment, community veto decision, Jeff, that allows the community to override the board's decision. So if the board doesn't like a really bad recommendation out of a review team, it doesn't have to accept it. It would be up to the community to get a supermajority to override. And I'm trying to catch you up, Jeff, on a lot of stuff that I think has happened before. All right, so I'm going to move on because Jordan is giving me the prod, the cattle prod, and I haven't even got to the two new affirmation reviews to consider. So please, everyone, scroll down to the last two pages of this document, and they are the last two of the affirmation reviews. Number three, which is paragraph 9.3, and number four, which is paragraph 9.3.1. So the first one is a tricky one. This review, number three, it's on page 6 of 7. And it says, promoting competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice. This one was a challenge for us to bring over from the affirmation, because in the affirmation, it speaks to this as sort of the one-time contingent event of ICANN's round of new GTLDs. At the time, in 2009, when they wrote the affirmation, it wasn't even a foregone conclusion that we would do the new round. So it has words like if and when a new round is done or expansion is done. So we have tried here to use words that made it more general. And we have said that within a year of any new round, I'm looking at the very first paragraph, any new round of new GTLDs, within a year of when they've been in operation for a year, there should be a review. And the review would consider the exact same elements, safeguards in the application evaluation process up under A and B that are in the affirmation. And then for those of you who are new to our group, this is standard language we've adopted to give the community the ability to name the review team. The community has the ability to ask for outside experts if it wants. The community can review internal ICANN documents with obligations of clarity. And finally, the output is published for public comment, and the review team will decide how much of that to incorporate before it sends recommendations over to the board. One of the challenges on this review is, let me clarify for you, the affirmation of a commitment says that there was a review 1 year after the new GTLDs were in operation, another one 2 years after that review, and then one every 4 years thereafter. If, in fact, we're moving to a more frequent calendar of new GTLD rounds, I am proposing a little bit simpler here to say you would do one of them a year after a round is in operation, and then in the bottom here it just says a periodic review as frequently than once every 4 years. So that if we just did one on the new GTLD round, we wouldn't have to do another one for four more years, unless there was a brand new round that intervened, and then you'd have to do a review of that round, because more than likely, each round will have a different guidebook and different set of RPMs and implementation and application processes. So, Jordan, I know I'm running out of time, so do you want to take a cue on this or just let everybody ruminate for now? Got it. I will keep going. Is there a cue on this particular review? And Robin, I love the chat, but if we go back to the previous review, I will run out of time on what Jordan wants me to get done. So I'm sorry. Let me move ahead then. Folks, would you please scroll down to the final affirmation review, known as the Who Is review. Again, this was drafted in 2009 as part of the affirmation.
See if I have a comment.
It requires every 3 years, no less than every 3 years, for ICANN to review how well it is executing its commitments under Who Is. And now, since 2009, we realized that there have been opportunities to redesign the directory services. That's what the expert working group is all about. We still might be 3 to 5 years away from the implementation of a replacement for Who Is. So we are probably due for the next Who Is review later in 2015, because that will have been 3 years since the last one. So that is on the table right now, and we will probably not get this transition done before that affirmation of commitments review has to be begun. So what I proposed here is every 3 years, and recall this, that if the expert working group is successful in 2019 or 2020, and we have a brand new system that replaces WHOIS with the directory services, well then the ATRT team under paragraph one could sunset this review and eliminate it, or it might replace it, or edit the review so that it doesn't refer to WHOIS anymore, which by then could be an obsolete protocol. So, Jordan, it's up to you. Do you want to take a cue on this or just let people consider it?
You take a couple of minutes if people have got comments on this.
All right, so in the comments, let's first talk about the WHOIS review and then we'll work backwards. Are there any objections to this new draft language for the WHOIS review? Go ahead, Caboose.
Yes, I'm not on this. I'm on the previous point that you're talking about the new DTLD. Perhaps you may refer kindly to the discussions took place, a heated debate in the GAC with respect to the new DTLD round, and it was mentioned that they have to stop that and they have to take actions on the experience gained with respect to the first round, and without taking that into account, do not go to the second round. This is not this is something which is not in the affirmation of commitment, that any new round should be based on the experience and shortcoming, deficiencies, problems of the previous round. So this is something that should be mentioned in that paragraph. Thank you.
That kind of makes sense. So in 9.3, Caboose is recommending that the output of the review should be considered in the design of subsequent rounds, something like that. It could be added as a sentence to the end of this. But keep in mind that, Caboose, that if you and I were on the review team, one of the recommendations of the review team might well be the lessons learned from this round should be incorporated in the next round. So if the community wanted to do that, Caboose, it would make it a recommendation, and therefore it does not need to appear in the bylaws. What about
Why
that?
Not? Why
well,
not?
Well, don't
the
put
bylaws?
Things in the bylaws that the community can control on its own. There's no need for the bylaws to have elements in it that would constrain or compel what the community is likely to want to do when it's appropriate to do it.
Not exactly. It is a principle that any new action should take into account the experience gained of the previous action. It is a principle, and principle does not need the community triggered, and it is something should be put into the boiler. Just for your considerations, if other people disagree, I have no problem to withdraw.
All right, who else is in the queue? All right, there has been some chat discussion on the last review on privacy, and probably not appropriate to put into the bylaws. This says consumer trust, and if you recall from the affirmation of commitments, it was a discussion of privacy experts being available, law enforcement and experts on privacy, notion of legitimate needs of law enforcement, promoting consumer trust. I don't know that we have to add anything to these words right now. And on the other hand, Jeff Newman is suggesting we delete this right now as if it shouldn't be in the bylaws because the next review should be the last one. I believe we have to be conservative as drafters here. We want to try to bring from the affirmation review language that is in place right now. It's ICANN's obligation. And as we bring it over, we want to empower the community. One of the key ways to empower the community, Jeff, is to let the community decide that it's time to sunset the WHOIS review. And if you, Jeff, if you go back to 9.1 in this list, you'll see that one of the powers given to the ATRT is to recommend a sunset of review. Let's let the community decide that rather than this drafting group decide to get rid of the WHOIS review. And Jeff? If you read 9.1, it's both. They can sunset or create new ones. And that is the community. Okay, Jordan, I don't let this get too far out of control. Happy to go on as long as you like. And I've taken a lot of notes, and I guess I could make some edits. But how do you want to proceed?
Thanks, Steve. Well, I think the point is to have the discussion we've been having. So this has been a very good segment of the meeting. Jeff, just so you know, your last chat comment, that is provided for in part one of what is set out here. And it's clear that we do want the community to be able to introduce different types of reviews and remove expired reviews. So that's covered. But thank you, Steve, for that presentation and everyone for that discussion. We do need to move on. So my suggestion would... Jeff, the reason that that one's been called out, sorry to respond to chat again, is because it's already in the AOC, and this work item is about transferring those into the Bible. That's all. I think that probably as part of the discussion of this topic in Istanbul, we'll need to work out how we want to exactly play this, but at least we've got some material ready to do that with. I think the best way to proceed on these is for people to feedback other specific suggestions and drafting suggestions to Steve through the WP1 email list or direct to him. And we can carry on to the next agenda item, if that's okay. And the next agenda item is the question of the removal of ICANN directors. Just before I do achieve that subject change, Kavus, I see that your hand is still up. Is there a point you need to make now? No, okay, I'll assume that's an old hand. I don't want to spend too much time on this removal of ICANN directors because to pray through the discussion that many of us who are on this call had on the CCWG call, there's a bit of a confusion in the template about whether we're talking about the removal of the whole ICANN board by a community mechanism or whether we're talking about the recall of a specific director by their appointing body. And in sort of not being clear about separating them, I think my template has unhelpfully confused the debate. And my advice to you as the drafter is that I should try and unconfuse that debate by preparing two separate templates. And the one that's part of Workstream 1, I would suggest, the one that we need to do as part of the IANA stewardship transition flow of work, is the removal of the ICANN board, so it's the spell. So with your permission and taking on the feedback that was on the call and any discussion we have here, we do have a few minutes to discuss it. My intention would be to go and prepare an updated template that deals just with that, with the removal of the whole board by community mechanism. And then later, probably as part of Workstream 2, to work on the notion of recall of particular directors by the constituencies or by the NOMCOM that appointed them. So I'd welcome a cue on that point. In terms of the material that's already there, it's relatively simple to read. I would add two other points, I guess, just in closing this introductory part. One is that you create a power like removing the whole ICANN board to affect the way directors think about their duty to the community. It raises the temperature a little bit in the sense that people know that there's an ultimate backstop, that if the board is leading the corporation in a different direction, it isn't just subject to replacement through the election and non-com process, but if the community's back is up enough, it can remove the whole board. You don't create a mechanism like this because you expect or anticipate or want to be using it frequently. And you generally also don't use a mechanism like this to deal with a particular performance failings of one or two directors. to deal with that latter problem, to deal with a director that's fallen out of touch with their constituency, or who is utterly incompetent, there is already an option for the board to remove them, so they haven't exercised that option directly. And that's where we should talk about the recall option. So I just wanted to make those points about this one. Are there any comments or thoughts or suggestions other than me going away and doing a bit more work on it? At this point, I'd welcome Hughes. And Caboose, I do still see your hand up. I don't know if it's a new hand or an old one.
Yes, I think the question for removal or recalling the whole board and one or two members were discussed in the CCWG, and Thomas referred to you. I think both options should remain. I heard someone saying that we should just opt for the first one, that means removal of the whole board, which is a very, very rare cases. But I suggest that the removal of one or two or whoever of the board members should also remain. But the issue is that they should have different criteria. Removal of the whole board should have the very stringent criteria of, say, 4-6, something like that, and removal of the board member, maybe there's a lesser stringent criteria. However, we should think of what would happen in the case of removal of the whole board. Who will act in the meantime? How we should replace that, not replace, how should fill up the gap between the time that we remove the whole board and have a new board, and removal of the one or two members, but both should remain. I think I sent some message to the previous mailing list and saying that both options needs to be remained. Thank you.
Thanks, Sam Caboose. There's been, no one so far has suggested that we don't deal with the individual case. I was positing for discussion that maybe the individual recall was a workstream 2 item for post-transition. Robin has said, as an example, that she thinks not. But we've got a speaking list, so we'll carry on with that. Tiani, it's your turn.
Yes.
Just so you know, Tiani, we can't hear you.
Do you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So, first of all, the removal of the whole board and the removal of some members or one member or some members of the board should remain both, in my point of view, and the separation between Workstream 1 and Workstream 2 is not obvious for me. I have to understand better why we should put one in the Workstream 1 and the other in Workstream 2. But Caboose reiterated the concern expressed by Alan last time in the CWG and the CCWG call about what will happen when we recall the board. And I propose that we don't have to have an empty seat at all. We don't have to have a situation where ICANN doesn't have a board. So to prevent that, I think that we need to change the appointment rules so that every appointment should be for two persons, one member or one director, and the other is the alternate, and the alternate doesn't have any role except if the director is not there anymore. Means that if he's ill or if he's dead or if he's removed. Thank you.
Thanks, Tiani. Yes, I just noted that in the chat as well, because we're having trouble with the audio, that there's two would be appointed. If the one was removed, there would be an immediate person to fill the seat. I think one of the things we need to... I made the Workstream 2 for discussion. I don't mind either way. We can develop these mechanisms for work stream one pre-transition. I think the thing we need to think about is whether directors who are appointed by a constituency, say a CCNSO director, say we're talking about Mike Solberg from ZA, if he was to be removed, would it be the case that only the CCNSO could do that? Or should it be the CCNSO and or the community mechanism? Or should it be only the community mechanism? Because I think it's clear that in terms of removing the whole board, it has to be the community mechanism. It can't be an individual SO or AC saying goodbye board. That's pretty clear in my head. And I'm assuming, and I'm going to draft my template for the individual removal, that it's the appointing body that has a mandate to do it with an appropriate threshold. If people think that we should consider a different one, let me know on the email list is probably the easiest way, or there's a little bit of time now if you want to. Jani, I see your hand up. Is that your current hand, or is it your old hand?
No, it is a new hand about the replacement, as you or the recall, as you just said. I don't see why only the constituency that appointed the director had the right to recall him. I think that it must be with agreement of this constituency, but all the community can also recall him. Thank you.
Thanks, Thierry. That's a helpful suggestion. And so if we could get that in the notes, that one piece of feedback, please, is that it could be the community that removes the individual director, but it would need to be with the consent of the appointing body. To comment on Bruce, no, the bylaws, as far as I'm aware, don't provide for the removal of any directors by any means except the board doing so at the moment. I'm pretty sure the CCNSO rules don't allow it. Look, there are some more hands, which is great. Steve, Del Bianco, you're next.
Hey, thanks, Jordan. I want to focus on what is our priority to get this transition done and point to the fact that board members in Singapore, Larry Strickling starting a year ago in Singapore, and again at Los Angeles, and then several members of the U.S. Congress who rarely exhibit such actual knowledge of the subjects that are being heard before them, all gravitated to this idea of spilling the board. And one senator went so far as to say, shouldn't that be a necessary, not sufficient, but necessary condition of the transition? And Strickling didn't acquiesce to that, but he's already said many times he thinks that's a missing element of community empowerment. I only share this with you to say that let us not snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. Let us focus on writing up a community mechanism, supermajority, to spill the entire board on the full expectation that it should never be used, but that the prospect of its use would give the opportunity to balance the board's considerations. They know they have a fiduciary duty to the corporation, but the idea that they could all be spilled would say they may have to pay a little more attention to the will of the community if it's expressed in a near-consensus fashion in a way that makes sense on a key decision the board has to make. So they're on a fence. The board is being told by the general counsel that if they switch this singular plural policy, they may get sued by applicants. On the other hand, if the community had spoken loudly and in a consensus, the board might say, well, look, if we try to keep the corporation from being sued, we're going to all get dumped. And that's the kind of consideration we want to provoke. So to do that, we should focus exclusively on a mechanism called spill the board and a separate mechanism for recalling one or several board members. And we have ruined this opportunity for success by trying to do both in the same mechanism. So my proposal, Jordan, is split the mechanism. Have one for spill the board. Let's get it done. Let's make it work stream one before the transition. And then make another mechanism that might have completely different standards involved, where there might be a standard of misconduct, where there might be a different voting threshold, where there might have to be rules to protect somebody from being targeted inappropriately. And that will never make it into work stream one. That'll be work stream two, and we will get to it after we do the transition. Who's with me?
Thanks, Steve. That was my initial proposal that we kicked this item off, so I'm glad you're with me. Let's move on to the next hand. That's Roloff.
Thank you, Jordan. Yeah, I was already typing. I'm with Steve, and then secretly hoping that the second one will never make it into work stream two. Because I think with spilling a single or a few board members, we fall in the trap of giving the community the possibility to micromanage and to interfere with day-to-day operations when there's not really a problem. Like I said in my email, I don't think that one or two dysfunctional board members will make the whole board dysfunctional, and I don't think that the community should get the power to interfere in the board as long as it functions well. And I have trust in the board, especially when the community has the power to spill the whole board. I have trust in the board acting itself on dysfunctional board members, individual dysfunctional board members.
Thank you, Zilla. The next hand up is Kazu.
Hello, do you hear me? Hello?
We do now, Kabus. We've just started hearing you. Please carry on.
I'm waiting, okay. I'm waiting for my turn, yeah. I raised my hand before.
Okay, does that mean that you don't have a point to add here? And Roloff, I guess yours is an old hand as well, or did I cut you off?
It is, sorry.
Sorry, I have a comment on the last intervention. If you allow me some time, I have to make it, yeah.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I don't think that removal of the one or two board members is interference in the day-to-day. It is an action that requires a community has designated or elected someone and is come to the conclusion that does not represent what they want, and they have the power to remove that. I don't think it is day-to-day. And second, the whole board member, even if there is currently some power to remove one of these members, they don't have such a right, because each board member is representing a community. I don't think that they have the collective right to remove that. This removal should be made by the community, and I don't think that that is a interference in day-to-day. So both options should remain. Now, coming to Tijani's proposal, is at least one option, is a good proposal to have an alternate that we would not have any time, any gap, for the either one or two or several board members or the entire board members. You have always somebody to replace, and that has happened in all events similar to the ICANN, that there are some alternatives always, or alternates. So both options remain with alternate, and removal of the one or two or several board members is not interference to the day-to-day. It is an action required because community does not seem to be happy after the voting with the procedural aspects of supermajority that board member does not meet the requirements of that community, so it is removed. Thank you.
Thanks, Kabir. So I'm going to call this one to a close with thanks for all the comments that have been made. It's been a helpful discussion, along with what was on the BCWG call a couple of days ago, a day ago. The way I'm planning to proceed is to restructure this into two mechanisms, as I said at the start, one on ruling the whole board, one on removal of civic directors by the appointing body. I'll add in the consideration of the appointment of alternates. I'll state that ruling the board is workstream one, pre-transition, and I'll leave the removal of individual directors open at this point. There's disagreement about when we should do that. It doesn't matter. I'll still propose the thing, and it'll still be ready for discussion either next week or at the face-to-face. So if we can click on then, with thanks for that, onto the next agenda item, which is there was going to be the GATT consensus issue. I've explained why we're not going to deal with that. So we're not going to deal with that. And either, given the time in the call, I would rather that we split on to the next agenda items so that we can finish on time. I'm not aware, anyway, of any other work items that are ready for discussion at this point. Are there any that I've missed that anyone urgently would like to discuss at this point? No? Okay, I see no hands up. So we will move on to item four, which is to check in on progress on work items that have not been discussed. And if you scroll down this chart that's here in the window, which I'm pretty sure you'll all have individual control of, the ones where we haven't had a conversation, as far as I'm aware, are... the issue that we mentioned before, working party item 1.3a, requiring the implementation, and Steve has now volunteered to do that one. Where there's no content, we obviously can't have a discussion. I haven't heard from Keith Drazak on 5b, 1 and 2 in terms of preventing ICANN imposing obligations. So I'm hoping that we'll hear from Keith soon, and I'll follow up with him after this call. The Ombudsman items are for Workstream 2 anyway, after the transition, so that's why they're marked as on hold. So I think in terms of our powers, we have done quite a lot of work already, and they're largely on track. And we've now got volunteers with Steve stepping up for 3A to get that work all done. So I think we should have a goal that anything that we haven't yet discussed that's part of Workstream 1 really ought to be the subject of our next call, which we're going to need. That would mean that my repairs and removal of directors one, the issues about preventing ICANN imposing obligations and the implementation of a Workstream 2 items will be the main items we deal with at our next call. If you scroll further down the table, there's the Working Party 1 mechanisms template. And on that one, we do need to do some more work, and one of the next items is to call some volunteers to do some more work on those. And sorry, Jeff, I don't know which one that you've volunteered to work on, but maybe you could clarify that specifically. We'll need to get some more there. Finally, in terms of stuff that is inbound to us from Becky Burr's working party, I just want to make sure... I'm in the right place on the agenda for that. I just need to find a document that Becky sent to me. with those. To cut a long story short, there are no extensive proposals here. Apologies, I don't already have this set up in front of me. Yeah, so when I had a conversation with Becky, the stuff that she was keen to transfer to us was basically she had also had a work item around how the ombudsman would be appointed, and that was already in our work, so she's now clear that that is in our work, and we are, so there's no change there. The second item that was going to be inbound from her working party was all of these mechanism suggestions. So whether it was a permanent cross-community working group, adding things to existing powers, the recall mechanism for any board member or all board members, and the community veto concept that Robin has joined you to work on, that was it. Those were the only things that they consciously wished to transfer to us. And they were already on our list, so it's important to know that we're not going to get a large chunk of work into our area, into our working party. Now, the suggestions about what should go from our working party to working party two are noted on this table as well. It's clarifying ICANN's limited technical mission, which Keith has done some work on. The reason that that transfers is because the logical place to put it is in association with the standards of behavior that ICANN sees. And it's kind of a clarification of an existing power. So the suggestion from Becky is that her group is better placed to deal with it. And also because breaches of that technical mission would be triggers for a review and redress process to stop ICANN doing it. So it fits more neatly within hers. Same point with the Ombudsman being given standing to use the independent review panel, that this would be both in review and redress, and that it would be a workstream two item. So it's proposed to transfer that one to Becky as well. But that's it. So those are the only transfers that are proposed. So if people have got any issues about that, could they raise them now? Or Kavus, I see that you've got a hand up.
Yes, I just want to confirm that. Did I understand correctly that the removal of the whole board and removal of one or few board members, both options, remains on the table with different criteria and with the suggestion of Tijani that alternate board member could have served to fill the gap in case of removal. Did I understand it correctly?
Yes, you do understand that correctly. That is still on the table. Thanks. And I'll have new templates about that for us to discuss next week.
Thanks.
No problem. Okay. So I'm assuming that no one's going to have issues with those proposed changes. Robin asked a question in the chat whether 5A and 5B, 5.1 and 2, the ICANN obligations will transfer. No, not at this point. They will stay where we are in Working Party 1. So the next thing is that we do need to start putting some time into defining more of the mechanisms. We've got the draft from Rulof that we've already discussed about the supervisory board, and Robin has volunteered on the community veto point, and so she's going to fill out the template for that. We need to do a bit of thinking about the statutory delegates and members under California law, and the permanent CCWG. And the reason we need to think about those is that we're going to have a way to implement all those powers. So what I am asking is whether there are... I'm happy to do some background work on it and then engage either just back with the Working Party, but I would like to know if there are any members of the Working Party who would like to volunteer to specifically think about some of that stuff, in addition to Rulof and Robin, who have volunteered themselves by already doing some writing or agreeing to do some writing on these subjects. I'm not going to ask you to volunteer to do it right now, so you can. There'll be a chance on the list where you can send me a note or a Skype or phone me or whatever you like, but it would be good to get one or two more volunteers there. Rulof, your hand is up.
Yeah, thanks, Jordan. I'm happy to volunteer, for instance, for statutory delegates or members, or both of them, because I think they're quite close to supervisory board structure. In fact, I think a lot of the answers will be similar. The only problem is that I'm sure that I don't have the legal expertise to really come up with a design on how we get the members and how do we get the delegates, how do they fit into the existing structure. So if I do work on it, I'll need somebody to add content in that particular area.
Okay, thanks, Rulof. We'll take you up on that for both of those statutory delegates and members. And Edward Morris is volunteering to help you with statutory delegates. Edward, will your assistance extend a bit into members as well? Is that viable? And I do know that this is going to be one of the questions where the legal advice that we're getting through the CCWG is going to be important, because it will help explain to us whether we have to go down the membership route or the delegates route in order to be able to implement the other mechanisms that we've been talking about it. So Edward and Rulof for Working Party 1, Item C and D, statutory delegates and statutory members. That's fantastic. I don't know if we need to do specific work on the SNAC structure, but we've played you on the permanent CCWG. I'm happy to take that one up if no one else wants to. And I'm going to do my best this time, by the way, to not have these items discussed on the CCWG meeting next week. I think that we need to discuss them first before they go up for CCWG discussion. And that completes that agenda item as far as I'm concerned. If you want to volunteer for any other pieces of work, please fire an email through on the list or to me. And if people are able to get some content ready in these templates by the end of this week for people to start looking at on the list, that'll be helpful. The next item is our next meetings. I think it's self-evident that we're going to need to have another meeting next week. And if the time zone works for people or doesn't become unbearable for people, I think there's no reason to change what's worked for us today. We can come back to that. The second point I'd make is whether we should try and schedule a meeting on the Sunday afternoon in Istanbul face-to-face. And there are some reasons to do that or not, and I'd welcome views on either of those points, a meeting next week and a meeting in Istanbul. And I see Kavush has his hand up. Kavush, go ahead.
I raised a question before in the mailing list that any action with respect to the possible or eventual changes to the consensus process in the GAC need to be communicated to the GAC for their view. So I suggest that if you agree you raised that point with the CCWD to at some time, appropriate time, when the issue is more or less major, before making any decisions, communicate that to the chair of the GAC, that he could send it to the email of the GAC people in order to have replies and reflection. That is very sensitive and very important point, and you have to be very careful about that. Thank you.
Hi, Kobus. Thanks. We discussed this at the start of the meeting. Matthew Well has already approached as one of the co-chairs, Thomas Schneider, and that's why we haven't discussed that item in substance on this call and won't until we hear back from the co-chair. So we're proceeding in line with your suggestion. Are there any comments about building, that, you know, people seem to have the view that it would be desirable to get together in Istanbul for those of us who are there. I'm sure there'll be another infamous cocktail in any case. But I know WP1-2 is trying to do some substantive work. If there are no speaking views on this either way, that's fine. You can express views on the email list. And so in the...
Jordan, it's Steve Del Bianco. One small request. I'm going to arrive Saturday night in Istanbul, and that's to be around in case there are work party meetings on Sunday. But if you haven't already mentioned this, would you please just coordinate with Becky Burr so that those of us that are helping on both work parties don't have overlapping meeting times, if it's at all possible?
Okay, Steve, I can try for that. This is the first hint I've had looking at the documentation that you may be the only person working on both. But personally, I would find it quite helpful to be able to attend both as well, and Robin as well. So actually, there probably are more than I've been paying attention to. So yes, we will try and do that. That will probably make ICANN's job easier as well, because it means only finding one room that can be used in sequence. If it disadvantages people in terms of having to start the meetings before everyone's arrived, I apologize. We will just have to play that as it goes. In any case, we will be having plenty of time over the following 2 days to share thoughts and get together over breakfast or dinner if we need to. So thanks for the helpful suggestion. Kobus, I see your hand up again.
Yeah, just one question. Do we have any other conference call before Istanbul, or that is the last one?
Well, my proposal is that we're going to need one next week at least, at the same time, on the same day, in order to deal with the drafting that we've just discussed. So I think we have
to have
another call.
Thanks.
And okay, well, in the absence of hands, and given that it is 22:27 UTC and our meeting has to finish in 3 minutes, I'm going to thank you all for your contributions and your help and the work that we've done. I still think we're making good progress on the task that we've set out for us. I know the notes will be circulated soon. I will report back to the working party as soon as I can with the discussions that the rapporteurs have with the co-chairs about what we need to do for the Istanbul meeting. And we'll speak to you all again next week. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jordan.
Have a good day to everybody.